bet is magic.
And it's complete for the touchdown. For Bet, the rookie from Boomer. He grew up in Garfield, New Jersey, 10 minutes from Giants Stadium.
Absolutely unbelievable. You're talking about a kid who is just all heart.
Welcome to the Underdog Jets podcast with Wayne Krabet and Robbie Sabo. Are live. Yes, we are back. The Underdog Jets podcast with Wayne Krabet. We're going to level with you. Well, you know, not much structure to the show here. We're going to talk about Hassan Reddick, the draft, but we want you folks to ask Wayne anything. We'll mix it up in the comments. And note to everyone, Wayne experienced a hockey game recently. He was just telling me about it. And I think he's become the world's number one hockey fan, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, headed down to D.C. to meet my son, see a Capitals game. You know, I always went to Rangers and Islanders.
The Craps, as my dad calls them.
And it's pretty good. Actually, you know, just the beginning and the light show and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, since what they're doing at MetLife, lighting up the stairs and this and that, it was pretty impressive. They lost, but definitely I got a Caps hat now, and, you know, I'm a fan. But I'm always a New York fan before anything else.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It might be, and they haven't played in the playoffs in a while. It might be the Rangers and Capitals in the first round of the playoffs.
That'd be an awesome matchup. Like I said, it's a great venue. Great venue to see stuff. Yeah. But, all good, man. I know we didn't talk about Reddick last time, but, hey, anybody who asked a question last week that we didn't get to – because we kind of got like shut out a little bit. Please put it back in the comments and we'll get to it.
Yeah, we will. It completely my fault with the stream. I want to call it arrogance, but it wasn't arrogance. It was just short-sightedness of taking highlights on a live stream. But the good news is we have film. We're not going to break up the film today. Maybe we will if we have time. Right. But we have film of the teams, the college teams, the All-22 film. So we could break that out in the next couple shows because there's only 2 or 3 shows left before the draft. So we'll break out the receiver film next week, probably.
All right. Hey, looking right at the chat, right? Dakota J had maybe 20 comments before we even started.
Dakota J's got the coffee going tonight.
Yeah. It's great stuff. Obviously, we'll get to a lot of that stuff. Dano said, Wayne the GOAT. Appreciate it. Hawk said, good evening, Robbie, Wayne, it's Dane. What's up, boys? Let's go. New York Jets super fan. Tony, the GM, says trade down. What's going on with that? What are the whispers about trading down?
I haven't heard many whispers, but knowing Douglas and knowing where the big board is, I kind of see that being the number one option. Like, I'm going to share my screen to get to a big board I did recently. And if you look at the big board, it's kind of a tricky situation because it's going to be Bowers, and I just can't see them taking Bowers.
I don't know. I see that on a lot of projections, but listen, we talked about it. We, you know, we want another lineman. We get Simpson. We want another lineman. We got Moses. We want another one. We got Tyron Smith. Mm-hmm. So those are 3 potential starters, and then we got Mike Williams, which gives us a chance to go after a receiver or a lineman. Now we have options, which is great. But my question is this.
Yeah.
You know, Tyron Smith and Moses, they're 33 years old. But if you use the 10th pick on a lineman, are they a starter from day one? I mean, usually top 10 picks are starters from day one.
Usually.
Maybe not a quarterback. But generally, a top 10 pick is a starter going into day one, right?
Usually. But it just won't be the case with the Jets because Moses and Tyron Smith have it locked up. So the way they can get away with it is they feel like they're okay everywhere else, you know, fill some gaps in the mid rounds, the late rounds, maybe a free agent here or there. Yeah. and just view Latham, or because Alt's going to have to start. I don't know how you're going to do it, but view Latham, if you get Latham, as a redshirt guy, because offensive line is tough to transition from college. We've talked about it. So does that work? I don't know, for a top 10 guy.
I think, you know, Tyron's not going to the bench. Obviously, he's no. he's the most likely, not to get hurt, but to miss a game or two or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You almost want more of a, not a journeyman, but a solid guy, you know.
Bakhtiari.
Yeah. Bakhtiari, he's older. You know, he'd be a star, but would he be willing to be,
yes, you know, the sixth guy? I think so. Patient?
And my next question was, who's the guys that can come in and play every position? Like Vera Tucker or Tibbin, these guys. Who could we get second, you know, third, fourth round? Is there guys out there who are versatile to do all that?
That's a good question. There are some guys, but the number one guy that jumps off the chart that's not mid-round is on the big board. It's Fatanu, Troy Fatanu. So here's the big board that I have projected. Marvin Harrison is number one. Number two, Joe Alt. Number three, Neighbors. And number four, Bowers. I can't see anyone hopping over Bowers. I can't put Latham ahead of him right now.
Yeah, some people see him going into the mid-teens. I mean, can you really use a pick on a tight end? I don't know. I've never seen him blocking stuff like that when these receivers are so explosive. And then you look, you know, who's going to be the surprise pick moving up? Quarterbacks, you don't know. Is it going to be McCarthy, May, this and that? But, you know, is the kid who ran the 4.2 from Texas going to move up?
He'll probably be a second. I think he's going to be a second rounder still. This is the guy, Wayne. Rome Odunze.
Yeah.
Let's definitely focus on him next week. We'll focus on Odunze's film, maybe a little bit of Neighbors, a little bit of Harrison, but Odunze, Bowers, and Latham, probably.
Oh, Odunze's 6'3".
He's a tall guy. He fits their offense nicely because him and Mike Williams on the outside with Garrett Wilson on the inside is a nice fit. So there's a great possibility he's there. And Rich Cimini, I'm trying to find it, recently released his latest mock draft and titled it, you know, Jets Get Fortunate, where the Giants trade up to four, draft J.J. McCarthy, and Odunze lasts. Bowers goes, I think, 5 to the Chargers, but he goes before the Jets, and then Odunze drops to 10.
Right.
That's going to be the question. Do they pull the trigger on Odunze if he drops to 10?
Listen, like you said, you want someone who's going to come in and play right away. We don't have a second round pick, right?
No, we do not have a second round pick.
I think Douglas makes a move on that. Let me look at comments real fast.
Go for it. I'm going to bring up the point system because we will. So for example, to move up to like number 5, you'd have to give up points equivalent round 3 and round 4. To move up to 8 or 7, you just have to give up a round 3, basically.
You know, that's what John Hargett said. Wayne, what about trading now? We talked about that. Hawk said, question for me, have I watched Ladd McConkey from Georgia at all? If so, do you think him translate? I said last week that's the guy I like the most. Not as a top, you know, 10th pick, but I like him a lot. His run after catch and what he does with the ball, very impressive, good hands. I don't know. He's the kind of guy I'm excited about. I don't know where you get him, but he's obviously not going to make it to the third round, but he could be someone that's still on the board at some point.
He's tremendous. And shout out to Jake Asman, who I was on a show with recently. He said, you know where McConkey's going to go, and it's going to drive everyone nuts, to KC with Mahomes.
Oh, man.
Because he's... That's where he's slotted right now.
To the money. Why does everyone say the defense is set? We still need a starting free safety. Mm-hmm. Now Chuck Clark coming back. He's a strong safety?
On paper, yeah. Clark, strong safety. Adams, free safety. But it's really interchangeable with those two.
I don't think people realize how good Clark is.
We didn't get a chance
to see him at all last year. I guess he's moving in for Whitehead. He is good, man.
He's really good.
Clark is good. I don't think people are factoring in how good that secondary can be.
And you know what's interesting, too? Whitehead, he played a lot of deep safety this past year. Like he's, I always thought of him at more as a strong safety, but he played a lot of deep safety with Adams because Adams used to play corner in college.
Right.
Adams playing a lot of man, you know, in past situations. So he dropped down. So I think Clark and Adams, they could do a lot back there.
All right. J-Max 99. I have a question. This. He said, why not take the best available 10 and trade up into the second, use 2025 picks. It's a must win year. Love Odunze. Yeah. It is a must year win. And Woody Johnson came out and said that, you know, it's nice to put some heat on the coach and staff and stuff, but where do we have enough picks in 2025 to move up in 2024? I don't know what our picks look like because we lost.
So let me bring that up real quick and we'll share the screen. I just can't see Douglas trading away a first.
Yeah.
Like that's the one kicker. Like I just can't see it. And you know, if I had to bet money, it would have to be on a trade down because Bowers may slip. And one of those four or one of those five, if they like Fontenot, one of those five linemen will be there close to 20, most likely.
That's what I'm saying. If we move back, man, we're still going to get a starter, you know,
maybe
a 6A on the line. Zach Mazel said, should we draft an outside or slot receiver? Tied to that question, should we play Garrett Wilson outside or in the slot? I mean, he could play anywhere. I don't know if people realize. I mean, I played a lot of outside too. People thought I was either a slot, but you know, if you move around a little bit, you're not always running the same routes, and he can run any route on the route tree. So right now, outside would be Mike Williams. Now is Lazard is this is the three now? Is he gonna
Yeah,
is he gonna be around?
Lazard will be around. He's the three, or you could argue Xavier Gibson is the three, but I'd say Lazard's the three. Xavier Gibson's the four. And yeah, they got to get another guy in my opinion. You know, Corey Davis, what's happening there? And Wayne, next year they do have all their picks.
Yeah.
One through five. And then here is it's going to be really small, but the old Jimmy Johnson point system, not every GM in front office uses this as much anymore, but it gives you an idea. The Jets at number 10 is the 10th pick is worth 1300 points. To move up to where would they have to move up for Harrison? If they want to go, okay. So if they want to go to five for the Chargers, they have to give up around 400 points. That is their third round pick, which is 230, and fourth round pick, which is 72. Gotcha. So you have to give up a third and a fourth to move up five spots. That's a lot. I just don't see a trade up happening.
Yeah. Thank you, man. If we could trade back a handful of picks and still get one of our guys, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you trade back, which team, which QB hungry team would be looking to move up? Minnesota's at 11, but that's only one slot back. I mean, you flip flop with Minnesota, most likely not happen. There's another team I was thinking about. Someone in the comments helped me out. But you could easily pick up a third, if not a second, but the Jets would have to throw something else in, most likely, to trade down to like 15, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there.
Trying to look at some of these, I'm not familiar with, I'm kind of familiar with some of the names of these possible linemen. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say in case it's not like a thing.
Who are you looking at?
People were saying Moses isn't like a definite to start. I mean, Moses is good. He's a good lineman.
He's for my money, he's definite to start because he's not a household name, but one of five in a unit, he is as consistent as they come. Like it's not an accident that he was on Baltimore's line last year, you know, right. Simpson too.
Both of them Both guys.
Yeah, both guys. You're not going to disturb that. And, you know, you go into the year. Plus, when you have a rookie lineman, a rookie anybody, Sala does it the right way. You know, I criticize Sala a lot for certain things, but when it comes to rookies, he does it the right way. He doesn't hand out starting spots. He makes them earn it. And, you know, Sauce's rookie year, he was splitting reps with Bryce Hall up until late August. So, you know, injuries will happen. It's okay if they draft the lineman.
Here's a good comment. Stanley Mann, this is a shout out to Nanya. Bowers, vastly overrated according to Nanya. Blew it. Georgia schemed him open. Yes. He was all over, man. They moved him all over. He's a scheme guy too. They can do a lot of things. I'm just thinking they must have been pretty deadly with Bowers and McConkey on
and McConkey.
Yeah.
They just didn't have a incredible quarterback. Like that's the one thing.
Yeah.
The issue is when you're on the clock and you want to trade down and you can't find that perfect deal, what do you do if the three receivers are gone and all is gone? Your big board looks like this. It's Bowers, it's Latham, it's Fashanu, basically. Assuming Adunze is gone, who are you going to take?
Yeah.
Like that's the situation. You got to go, you're going to have to go by your big board if you're scrambling and you can't make the trade down happen. And I see no way around it. I'm not on the Bowers train, but I see a very realistic scenario where it could happen.
Listen, like I said, we have options, but if we can get a weapon like that, man. And you know, like we're kind of excluding Lazard, not many people talking about him, but there's going to be a major difference with Rodgers back there. And Lazard out there. And it's not just their, you know, chemistry. It's the confidence that Lazard will play with. He didn't play with confidence last year.
He did not. Here's Dakota handing out love letters. Here we go. I think we should get the Tennessee QB Milton in the later rounds. He would be an exciting QB a la Josh Allen if we could polish him up. I mean, quarterback's an interesting call out. It's definitely feasible. I put my bets on they don't come away with a quarterback just based on the way things land, but it's possible. And the other sneaky position is defensive tackle. I think they realize they still need another defensive tackle somewhere.
Eagles saying, non-football question, how was the solar eclipse?
Did you have your glasses on?
No, I had to come home quick and get Griffin, my 12-year-old, box of Cheerios, empty that out, and, you know, cut the hole in it, put the tin foil, poke the hole in it. You could not face, you know, my wife's like, don't face, don't look right at it, you'll go blind. We're looking in this little box like that. I'm like, all right, man. But I guess it was a big thing, but, you know, he was hogging the Cheerios box. I didn't get a chance to see it.
Oh, the earthquake. We haven't spoken since the earthquake either.
Yeah, I was kind of laying around. I'm like, all right. Thought maybe like a semi was like on my property. And then it kept going on. And I'm like, geez, I can't imagine what it's like in, you know, wherever they have those 8-point, 9-point earthquakes where
when
the road splits in half. But kind of crazy.
Yeah, I thought it was an airplane crashing or coming too close to the apartment here.
All right, Johnny Jimenez, question for me. What is a position that would throw the organization into a frenzy but would make an immediate impact? I mean, draft the edge rusher.
So going edge would throw the fan base into a frenzy for sure.
What if someone like a Dallas Turner falls to us?
I mean, he's the first defensive player. It's tough to see him getting past where he's slotted right now, but it's possible. And if they go edge, Dallas Turner, the fans are going to lose their minds because of – and Hassan Reddick. We'll talk about Reddick before we get off too.
Listen, I saw his statistics and his rank. He's like only one of five people that have double-digit sacks and whatever in the last handful of years. I mean,
yeah,
of course, you know, the Eagles guys come out and say, oh, he's playing for himself. trying to get a contract. Like, no shit. Of course he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not like, he's not out there doing his own thing. I mean, he's getting around there, this and that, but man, he comes around that corner with him and Jermaine out there.
Yeah. And you know, it doesn't mean much after the fact, saying that after the fact, after he's gone.
Right, crazy six. Listen, so some fans feel Jets are now team to beat in AFC East with losses that Bills Dolphins roster. What are your thoughts? Listen, I don't see how the Bills are going to be anything. Yeah. I mean, they got Josh Allen and some guys, but man, they got rid of their receiving cores worse than ours when I got there. I mean, there's
Shakir,
no clear catches, no experience. I mean, if I was Josh Allen, I'd be going nuts. And I don't see them in the news looking to get one of these name weapons. So I think they're definitely behind us in Miami at this point.
I would agree. And listen, it's been trending that way anyway. You know, their roster's getting older. It's Josh Allen that saved them in a lot of ways.
I think they missed their window, to be honest with you.
It's possible. And right now I'm looking at the depth chart. They have Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel. Basically, that's it. Mac Hollins.
Yeah, that's three. In any other team, those guys are threes.
If that. I do like Shakir. I do like Shakir, but he's limited in some of the things he could do. But I think he's gonna have a big year coming up.
Yeah, I mean, they had Diggs, Gabe Davis was good. There was another guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be pissed if I was
And by the way, on Reddick, folks, I know a lot of Jets fans are upset about losing Huff, and they see Reddick as a Huff replacement. He's kind of a Huff replacement, but not really, because Reddick. Man, he is versatile. He came into the league as a stand-up linebacker. Not a lot of folks realize this for the Cardinals, and he couldn't really find his way. So, yes, he's an edge rusher first, but what the Jets could do defensively now in terms of versatility, in terms of at-the-line stuff, matching the offense, he could play linebacker, he could play edge, he could do a lot of different things. So it's completely different players. You know, I love the acquisition.
Yeah, I love everything they've done. There hasn't, I don't know, I'm thinking of like, what did they do where I'm like, that's a waste of money, or that's a waste of this, waste of that. There's no like, you know.
Not much.
Did we vastly overpay for anybody? I mean, I know Tyron's, you know, a lot of these deals are very incentive laden. I can't look at, you know, some teams, are, you know, they get it like a, you know, backup guy, you know. 5 years, $80 million, and you're like, oh my God, like you're trying to just make a splash. There's nobody I've looked at and been like, oh, it's not necessary. Have you?
No. And the thing is, Tyron Smith, that signing, it shocked even the Jets, according to reports. And why wouldn't it? Like, how does a Hall of Fame talent not get more than a 1 year deal? That's what's crazy. So Douglas stuck to his guns, and he stuck to his guns when he tried to get Tooney. When he tried to get Orlando Brown, they just opted to go somewhere else. And this time it was even less years, fewer years. And they got Tyron Smith.
Yeah. I mean, you're replacing Becton and, you know, Dwayne Brown with, you know, 10-time, you know, Pro Bowler. Listen, it Bakhtiari, he'd be a great locker room presence and stuff like that. Remember we talked last year. You know, defense gets in there, you know, if they have something to say in a meeting, you know, like a players only meeting, you got Quinnen up there and Mosley, Sauce, and like an offense where like, who would it be? Wouldn't be Zach. Garrett's kind of young.
Yeah.
Now you have Aaron's up there, freaking Tyron Smith, some of these big linemen, you know, and, guys who've been around, like, yeah, if they go up there and say stuff, to straighten it out if they have a bad game or a bad couple games, you know, they're gonna scare you. They're gonna listen, man.
You know how it is in those huddles and in the locker room. And why did the vets follow Bill Parcells everywhere? For a very good reason, because vets and leadership matters greatly in football.
I'm telling you, going in front, you know, you got Mawai and Vinny up there, and you know, you got Brian Cox up there.
Oh, she's present.
Those guys, Cox. Man, you're going to listen to what they have to say.
Yep. And when you look at the offense last year, Rodgers and AVT, that's pretty much it on offense. You know, Rodgers goes down.
Buckle more out.
Yeah, Rodgers goes down. They kind of, you know, 4-3 over the first seven. AVT goes down and, you know, gone. It's same pattern as the year before. You got to have leaders. And offensive lines these days have to be veteran laden. Like, those are the best lines across the league. And they are veteran. This line is a veteran line. And they're big, too. They're not going to get pushed around. No. Just got to stay healthy. I got one on this screen here from Green Bean. In the later rounds, would you think it's a better idea to bet on a trait? It depends. I mean, I love film. I haven't gotten to do as much of it over the last year or two. That's going to change from now until the season, by the way, based on some of the recent moves I've made. But if film and traits and raw attributes, it's only a part of the story. Like, what really kills me is not being able to know what kind of kids these are. Like, you can't really evaluate these guys without knowing who they are, what makes them tick, what's in their heart. Like, that's a huge part of it. So I think in the right situation, sure, a trait is worth it. Taking a lotto ticket, you know, sixth round, seventh round.
Yeah, good question. Let me ask you this, people are listening. What's top two, top three? What's our biggest need right now? Not thinking about the draft, you know.
Yeah.
Does everybody's available in the draft? You know what I mean? Not, you know.
Yes.
Obviously, you want neighbor, you know, those guys like that. But is it guard? Is it safety? Is it tackle?
Is it receiver? I think based on recent history, it's O-line depth.
Okay.
If you're talking about starters, is starters or like situational starters, maybe a beefier defensive tackle. Like, I know they have Leakey, the new kid they brought in, who's a two gapper who could play a little 3-4 and stand guys up. But I want another guy there. But I think overall, it's probably O-line depth. And right alongside of that is the extra weapon.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's so close, though. Like, extra weapon, definitely needed, whether it's inside, whether it's outside. Tight end, too. I mean, listen, I love Conklin and Rucker and even Yeboa, they like. But that X factor, difference maker tight end, is huge in the NFL. So it's fascinating, man. They can go so many different ways in this draft. We haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, certainly depth.
What do you think? What is their biggest need? Would you lean towards receiver?
Yeah, it'd be nice to have another weapon. You need, you know, some extra legs, you know, line, and then, you know, in training camp, because these guys aren't going to be out there every practice. You know, Herm Edwards was just big on, like, you know, every third practice, you know, tell me or LC or just, you know, take the afternoon off and just get fresh. He was smart about that.
Yeah, and you know what? If they get Bakhtiari, you know, for all we know, it's nearly a done deal. Like, they just haven't gone. They're just waiting for the right time. If they get Bakhtiari, maybe it is receiver, you know?
You know, he's the kind of guy who's not going to sign. He doesn't need to sign to training camp, where, you know, guys like that, they don't want to be in the dog days of, you know, summer. But
right, and they could pick their place, too. Like, they could make their right move. Like, he's probably in on the Jets now, but he's like, I'll just wait until it comes and then we'll see.
You know what? They see more about Buffalo and talk about, you know, Josh Allen being the top three. Dude, he's not going to do anything. You get someone that's quick and they put a spy on him, then you have to worry about, like, him, you know. I'm telling you, I thought he was, you know, run past everything. Great, with his legs, tough guy jumping over people. But I'm telling you, man, his days, man, of being a top echelon, it's not going to be there without those weapons.
Headline: Wayne Corbett says Josh Allen stinks.
I didn't say he stinks.
I gotta get someone to write it up at Jets X Factor now.
I'm not saying he stinks. I'm just saying his number. I mean, you don't base it on numbers, but his performance.
Yeah.
Is it going to be what it was?
No, he needs a receiver. And listen, where are they picking in the first round? It can't be great, because they were in the divisional round. So They really need a wide out. Hey, Dalton Kincaid coming into his sophomore second year in the NFL. Maybe he takes a step, but he needs a weapon. He's got James Cook behind him, but that's not enough.
I mean, get rid of Singletary's on the Giants, but think about it. Even if you don't have, you know, great depth, you know, just one guy you'll throw to when all those fields, you're going to give the guy a shot. You're going to throw it at there. You're going to throw it at this guy, that guy. He doesn't have that one guy like, you know what, no matter what, I'm just going to give him a chance. Like, who do you trust?
Yeah, and he lost Gabe. Like, losing one is rough, but he lost Gabe Davis too. I mean.
Yeah, you got your intermediate guy, you know, your quick guy, your option guy, and then you had your deep threat.
Yep.
No, I mean, people are making the comment like, no, I don't think he's that guy anymore. I wouldn't.
And their O-line is not good. It's not great either. I don't want to say not good. They're probably still average. Dano, are you guys on the train that there's no longer a role for Michael Clemens on this team? I'm not, but I'd have him cutting the weight they had him gain last year and going back to being cut and savage. No, he still has a role, and he's kind of in the JFM category where he plays edge in base and then moves to the inside in passing situations. And that's the tweener category. You got Q and Leakey and Kinlaw inside, and then you got your edge guys like Reddick and JJ and McDonald, and then you got the tweeners. So I'd keep Clemens with the weight because he's not incredibly quick and bendy on the outside. So I like him bigger.
Gotcha.
There's a super chat too. Let's grab that. T Rivera, $10. Appreciate it. What's up, Wayne, aka the Godfather of D slot receiver? Hey, Sabo. I'm not the Godfather. What's going on here? Yeah, I think trading block is the best option, or going all in and trading up for a receiver like Neighbors. I love Neighbors. Me personally, trade back for tackle and receiver. I agree with you, T Rivera. I think trade back is what's first and foremost on their mind.
What do you think? I definitely think, appreciate the Godfather comment. For people that don't know what that is, Amendola and Edelman are friends, and we went out and had a meal together, and they said they call me the Godfather of slot, which I was humbled by because those guys are awesome. But I guess it wasn't really a thing in 95, 96, 97 when I came in. So, you know, nice to be known as that. As far as trading back, what's up? What's that say? I can't read that, dude. I can't even read. He showed me his phone. Best option going all in. Yeah, listen, if you can get up and get a guy like Neighbors, you know, who I think you put ahead of Dunze, can we trade back and get a tackle and like a McConkey kind of guy, or the kid from like South Carolina? Finagle, where we can move from 10 to closer to 20. Like McConkey is like, and still get a, you know, top guy at a tackle. Can we get both?
It's tough. You'd have to really, to get both, you'd have to really, really trade down deep and then get lucky, most likely. I don't think you'd get one of the top five tackles. You'd probably have to settle for the next guy.
Gotcha. That's why I'd say, which is deeper? The receiver fall off after the top guys, or lineman?
Receiver. Receiver is deeper, more, but I think tackle is deeper with the top guys.
Gotcha.
So like the top five tackles beat the top four receivers maybe in terms of quantity, but then receivers so much more deep.
Yeah. You know, when people say you trade up and try to get, you know, Neighbors or Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, I just think there's enough talent that you don't have to, you know, make that move. It's not necessary. There's not like a, I don't know. You know, I'm not saying they're not short things. They're going to, you know, they're great players. And I think their game's going to, you know, adjust to, you know, the pro game. Sometimes it doesn't translate. Amazingly. Generally, those are the guys that the Raiders have drafted over the year.
Yes. Yeah.
The Raiders draft the worst, have the worst draft of
speed.
Speed.
That's all Al Davis wanted. Speed. He didn't care about anything else.
It's crazy. I know I joke, but yeah.
And you know what's funny? going back to the Godfather comment, I just remembered when that came out, I still owned DSNY, and I did this article. The top slot receivers in NFL history. So let's, by the way, a couple of minutes left. Get your final questions in for Wayne before we wrap up. Let's see what you have to say about this. Notables, and there's big names here. Like, obviously, best receiver all time, Jerry Rice is going to be number one. But he's in the notables because he played outside a lot.
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah. So Chris Carter, Fitzgerald, Rice, Cobb, Baldwin, Landry, Tate. 10, Hines Ward. I mean, how could you not put him up there? Yeah. Incredible. 9, Tim Brown. I had
said, real quick, on Hines Ward.
Yeah.
The way he played, he wouldn't be able to play these days. He was part of the best blocker ever.
Oh.
I mean, he used to lay it on linebackers, this and that. And it's crazy how he would be getting fined for how he played, how aggressive he was. And he was tremendous.
He was the only receiver who I saw actively seek out Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
To block him. There's a clip, funny viral clip from Chad Johnson.
Yeah.
You saw that? He's like, I tried to hit Ray. I missed. Yeah. He didn't know what the hell was going on. Tim Brown, 9. Victor Cruz, 8. Victor was a hell of a slot guy. Andre Rison, 7. Andre Reed, 6. And again, Reed, you know, Hall of Fame dude, but he played everywhere. He played outside, inside. Excellent from the slot. Edelman, 5. Ernest Givens out of the run and shoot, 4. I don't remember this list I put together. Ernest Givens, 4. Charlie Joyner, 3. The original. I mean, Wayne, you're original in a lot of ways, but
yeah,
Joyner might be the only pre-original guy with that Air Coryell. Yeah. Wes Welker, 2. And then, of course, I got number 80, number 1.
That's funny. That's funny.
And there it is. This is what made me write the story, The Godfather.
Yeah, yeah, me. That's Edelman, me, and Amendola. Like I said, we went out and, you know, Amendola posted across the middle till we die, you know, hashtag The Godfather. The funny thing is, when I posted this, like, Jets fans were like, oh, you're with the enemy. They were upset. I'm like, listen.
Yeah.
These guys were like in street clothes. I'm like, I'm allowed to have, I mean, Strahan was best man at my wedding. Like, I can't be friends with Giants. Patriot, I understand. The funny thing is, Edelman had gotten foot surgery. So he's actually has one leg up on, the, you know, those wheel things you push.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, he had a cast on and no one knew he had it. So we had to make sure the picture was taken so that you couldn't see his from the waist down. But
the way Belichick operates, right?
Two awesome guys. It's, like I said, I'm humbled that they looked up to me. But yeah, funny. Great list, man. I'm glad you put me on the top of it.
I just remembered. I'm like, man, I remember doing something. I was looking on Jets X Factor, but that was before Jets X Factor even. Holy crap.
Listen, I've been retired 19 years now. I mean, to just have your name mentioned by guys and still be relevant and people still wearing your jersey and all that stuff, I'm grateful. So, you know, I'll take it.
Dakota with a nice shout out. Yeah, running backs a need too. Good call, Dakota. Running backs definitely a need. And I think they need a third down back specifically because Izzy could back up Breece as the workhorse.
Gotcha. Now we're at 37 minutes, man. This is a long
one. We gotta wrap it up.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody like hanging in there. A lot of questions. Sorry it's so long, but there was no script.
Yeah. And we made up for last week too.
Yeah. I think we went in a lot of different directions. So
I'll get some film together for next week. Adunze and the receivers, McConkey, and we'll go over some of that stuff.
Okay.
All right, folks. Hey, share this video. Get us on iTunes, all that good stuff. We'll catch you next week.